As always, they do such a great job leading us in worship. We thank each and every one of you. Our scripture today is from Luke's Gospel, the 10th chapter, verses 25 through 37. It's probably the most widely known parable of Jesus that we'll hear today. And you'll recognize it in just a moment. Just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw the man, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii, gave it to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.'" Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. How many of you are taking the 40-day challenge of mercy? Raise your hand. Thank you. The rest of you, I'm going to invite you to take the 40-day journey, challenge of mercy, and here's how you do it. First of all, you need a mercy card. There's some mercy cards over here on the information table. If you don't get one today, you can take an index card and just write mercy on it. Another definition of mercy is unexpected kindness. I want you to have a mercy card. And as you go throughout the day, there are times when maybe you're being too hard on yourself. Maybe you're being judgmental. Maybe you're saying things like, "I never seem to get it right. Here I go again." I want you to catch yourself and say, "You know what I need? I need mercy." And sometimes you need to give it to yourself. So I want you to think of the mercy card, and I want you to play your mercy card and have mercy on yourself. Now, there's going to be times throughout the week where you'll have the opportunity to give someone else mercy. It could be that you're standing in line, and maybe the person in front of you, for whatever reason, is just making it difficult, whether it's on purpose or not, and you're losing your patience, and then you remember, "Wait a minute, I took the 40-day mercy challenge." This is great. Well, this is also my opportunity to use the card. Now, you see, it's always fun when you got a card you can use. And so you say, "Well, I'm just going to take out my card, and I'm going to smile, and I'm going to say, I don't know what's going on in that person's life right now. I'm just going to pray for them, and I'm going to be kind to them, and I'm not going to lose my temper like I usually do." Well, that's pretty much what it means, is that during these 40 days of challenge, we want to become more merciful. But we need to learn how. How are we to be merciful? Last week, we talked about the first mark of mercy. And the first mark of mercy is mercy forgives the fallen. In other words, we forgive others. That is the first mark of mercy. Now, as Christian, the reason that we forgive anybody is because we know how much we've been forgiven. And we know that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And then one of the definitions of mercy is reframing from judgment or punishment. It is releasing someone. And so the first mark is that mercy forgives the fallen. Today is the second mark of mercy. Mercy helps the hurting. And there's no better story than the story of the Good Samaritan. Did you catch all the things that the Good Samaritan did? Well, first of all, he saw the man. You see, mercy begins with our eyes. We have to see a need before we can meet a need. One of the reasons that we don't see the needs around us is that we're so busy. And so we need to slow down and ask God to open our eyes to see the needs around us. And so he saw the man, and there are the four S's, the four steps to helping the hurting. And the first one is we got to see them. We have to see them. Second S is sympathize. We need to sympathize with them. Now, while mercy may begin with the eyes, sympathy comes through the ears. As we listen to a person and listen to their story, we find ourselves becoming empathetic and extending sympathy to them. The third S is to seize the moment. You know, so often opportunities to help a hurting person come as interruptions. And if we don't seize the moment right then, well, the moment will pass us by. And so we have to decide, you know what? Perhaps this is more important right now. And I can allow my life to be interrupted by someone's hurt. And I can seize this moment and do something to help and not let the moment pass by. So you have the three S's so far: to see the need. Mercy begins with the eyes. Sympathize. Listening to a person is a great way to express sympathy and empathy. Seize the moment. And then the fourth one is this: spend whatever it takes. And we see that the Good Samaritan did all of these things. The Good Samaritan allowed his life to be interrupted. He stopped what he was doing. And, not only that, but he did the fourth thing, the fourth step. He spent whatever it took. Now, helping the hurting will cost us. It'll cost us time. It'll cost us energy. It'll cost us resources. And it can be any kind of resources. But let me tell you this. It's always worth it. Because you remember the scripture I shared a couple of weeks ago, Proverbs 11:17. He or she who is kind to others nourishes their own soul. You know, at the end of the day, what are the things that we feel best about? We feel best about how we treated people. And so the fourth S is to spend whatever it takes. And the Good Samaritan did that. Now, this parable is so widely known that people who don't even come to church, people who don't read the Bibles, people, you know, who don't profess a faith, well, it's in our very, you might want to say, vernacular, in our language, is in our conversations, he or she was a Good Samaritan. We have hospitals, the Good Samaritan Hospital. We have churches, the Good Samaritan Church. We have organizations. We have ministries. We have Samaritan's Purse. This parable is so widely known that, it stands for what it means to help someone who is hurting, to be a good Samaritan. And these are basically four steps that we can take to help us help the hurting. Now, I want to say a couple of things about mercy. Mercy is love in action. Mercy takes action when others just simply take off. The priest and the Levite, for whatever reason, took off. The mercy is not afraid to get its hands dirty, because I'm going to tell you, so often when we reach out to help others, it is messy. And sometimes we, so to speak, we do get our hands dirty, but mercy's not afraid. You know, the Good Samaritan probably got his clothes messy. helping this particular person. But mercy helps the hurting no matter who they are, what they look like, or where they come from. You see, mercy and following Jesus go hand in hand. To follow Jesus means to be merciful. And when we are merciful, we are loving our neighbor. And we are becoming more and more like Jesus. Well, the challenge this week is this. Who do I know who is hurting that I can help this week? I want you to hold on to that thought, but that's the homework for this coming week. I want you to think about who is someone who is hurting that I could help. Now, this is a good test, because if we can't think of anybody who is hurting, whether it's in our family or at our place of work or in our neighborhood or in our encounters throughout our daily lives, if we can't think of anybody, then we know we are too busy and we need to slow down and pay attention. You know, mercy is giving persons our undivided attention. It's being able to look persons in the eye and give them the gift of our ears when they need it. I want you to think about who is hurting that I can help this week. And I want you to think about various things. Not only can you do something, but if you're in a small group, your small group can have this discussion. You can say, as a small group, what could we do to help someone else? You could participate in the ministries of this church. The church has ministries put together that you can help support or participate in that does that very thing. And then, of course, there are all many different ways to help hurting persons. One thing that you can do is you can think about, when was a time when I was hurting and someone else helped me? That may be your calling. That may be a call for you that with the comfort with which you have received, you are to comfort others. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. I think about all these things, but I want to lift up just a couple of examples for you. In the Catholic Church, there's talk of the seven corporal works of mercy. And this helps us to really organize where all the ministries fit. Every single ministry, whether it's personal or as a church or as an organization, fits within the seven corporal works of mercy. And they're actually largely based on chapter 25 of Matthew's gospel. First one is feeding the hungry. Now you might say, well, you know, how am I going to do that? Well, there are many different ways. But when we begin to think that is an act of mercy, we may have brought to our attention a need. And if we do, we can ask God how we might best fit that need. Now, I've done some thinking about this. And one thing that I'm going to do is this. Did you read about in the connection recently that there are three ministries we're dividing our proceeds up from the state fair? There are three ministries that we're giving the proceeds to, and one of them is the Open Table. Here's how it works. There's a place in Raleigh that is open to serve meals, and there's no cost for the meal. It's a good meal. And the thought behind this is, not only would this give an opportunity to feed persons who may not have a meal that day, but it creates a space for people to gather and sit down and talk who ordinarily wouldn't even share a meal together. And so professors from North Carolina State come in. A person off the street comes in. It gathers people together in a public place when largely we don't ever gather like that. And we sit down and we talk and we share a meal. Now, when persons go there, they're given the opportunity to contribute whatever they want. And so, much like that happens when we go through the drive-thru and you discover that the person ahead of you said, hey, I'm paying for the persons behind me. Here you go. Well, when you go to this place, you can say, hey, I know that there are people here that can't afford it, and so I'm going to pay a little extra. That's how the whole place operates. The whole budget is based upon donations. And the mission is to serve those who are hungry and create space for persons to gather and share lives that would not be shared otherwise. And that's a place I want to go. That's a place I want to go, and I want to not only eat there and talk with others, but I want to say, hey, you know, I know that there's somebody else who's going to come in here, and they're going to need to eat, and I want to make sure that they're able to do that, and I'll gladly give a donation. But there are other ways that we can feed the hungry. The second way is giving drink to the thirsty. Now, you have to think a little bit outside the box about how to do that, but let's keep it simple. You know one thing I've noticed lately? It's hot around here. Have you noticed that? Good God Almighty, it's hot. And so the other day, some of the sanitation workers were coming by our house, and they're some of the most helpful people. I mean, they pick up trash. They literally pick up trash and put it in a dump truck. And they do it with smiles on their faces. And I thought to myself, it's early in the morning and it's already hot. I could have easily given every single one of those fellas a bottle of water. Perhaps we could have a little cooler in our car with bottles of water, and you could say, hey, you know, I'm just stop right now and give that person a bottle of water. And there's different things we can do. Sheltering the homeless is the third one. And again, that could be challenging, but there are many different things that you can do. I've actually been down to Wilmington Street Center. It is a shelter largely for men who are homeless. I've seen the work that goes on down there. It's amazing. Some of the people who work there are very, very kind, very, very merciful. But just yesterday, here at the men's breakfast, I heard a fellow who is head of the Hurricane Recovery Relief Ministry in the North Carolina Annual Conference, Cliff Harville. He said, do you know there are people who have been living in a hotel for 8 months because they still haven't gotten back in their homes as a result of Hurricane Matthew? And so there are work teams that are going out to repair homes and even build new ones. And then there is funding that will help support these people to continue to have a place to stay in the hotel while they don't have a home. That is real. And the people in eastern North Carolina have suffered so greatly because of these hurricanes. And literally, they are homeless, as well as those that we sometimes run into downtown, visiting the prisons. Not everybody can do that. But we can all support various ministries. Pardoned by Christ is a good one. There's a transitional home for inmates when they get out. They stay there. They're taught different skills so they can get a job. They also go through Bible studies. They are equipped to be able to come back into society, not only be productive, but live as Christians who know that real freedom comes from the pardon of Christ. And you can help support that ministry. I was even thinking about maybe if I had spare time, which, you know, may come one day, I could help be a part of that Bible study. Care for the sick. Different ways that you can do that. The sixth one is kind of interesting. Bury the dead. You go, bury the dead? Well, God, what do you mean by that? I was over at Avila Retreat Center, I forget exactly when, but every time I go, I'm reminded that there's a cemetery back there. If you take a little walk into the woods, and you're walking in the woods, and then there's a cemetery, and it's a nice one. It's got a fence, it's got plants, it's got flowers, and then it's got these little, tiny little headstones. And so I asked, hey, you know, what's the story with the cemetery? And they said, well, there are some people, I think of the Franciscan order, who found out that many poor people didn't have a place to bury their babies, their infants who died, babies who died at birth. And so this cemetery is for those little children who have no place really to be buried. And they're given a proper burial, they're given a place, and we keep the cemetery up. What an act of mercy to a family that's lost a little child. We have someone in this church I found out many, many years ago. She started a ministry where they knit together little clothes, you know, for children that they might have as they're laid to rest. And, of course, the real ministry is to the families because persons show them that there are others who care. And then, of course, the last thing is alms to the poor. And there's many different ways we can do that. Those are seven corporal works of mercies. Let me tell you what I've seen some Sunday school classes do, small groups do, individuals groups do. Some people know what it's like to go to a hospital to spend an extended amount of time there, particularly when it's a child in the hospital, and they recognize how hard that is, and so they sign up to help at the Ronald McDonald's House. That's a tremendous ministry. There are persons who care about abused women, and they get involved with the Interact Ministries. There are persons who are concerned about the elderly who live by themselves, and either at their home or in care facilities, and they come to me and they want to know, is there an insider that I could visit? There's the Methodist Home for Children. There are youth who actually live in a home with counselors who serve as their teacher, and they in their formative years they are given help. Methodist Home for Children. There was a man in our church several years ago, Tom Kelly, and after his wife died, he had a very difficult time. I went to see him one day, and I knew something was different. And Tom said, I'm glad you came because I want to share this with you. He pulled out a letter, and he said, let me read this letter to you. And the letter was from someone who read the obituary of his wife, Sandra. And this person says, dear sir, I do not know you, and I did not know your lovely wife. But I want you to know that as I was reading this obituary, the Lord told me to write you a letter to let you know that I'm praying for you. This must be a difficult time, and I want you to be able to know that there are others who care. He received that note after he had attempted a suicide. But from that point on, he never thought about that again. That one little simple, unexpected bit of kindness did him a whole world of good. You know, the thing about showing unexpected kindness is for people who are really hurting, that's probably the time when they doubt God the most. Because why? Because when you're hurting, you're wondering, where is God? And especially when it's a chronic kind of hurt or need. But when there are persons who are hurting, it's the time when they're probably most prone to wonder where God is. And then you show up. And you don't know it, but you are the hand of God. And so often they may say something like this. I know God heard my prayer because you came today. Because you called today. Now, our scripture, one of our scripture lessons that I should have read is Proverbs 3:27. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. But I really like the way that it says it in the Message translation. It says, you are the hand of God to someone who is in need. And that's what I'm talking about. You never know what it may mean. Well, I want you just to think about that. Who do I know is hurting that I can possibly extend kindness to or mercy to this week? And I want you to get an index card and write Proverbs chapter 3, verse 27 on it. And I want you to keep that card just to remind you. And I want you to obviously keep your mercy card as well and keep doing that. But the gospel in a nutshell, the gospel that we proclaim is all about mercy. Why? Because God says in a time of Exodus, I saw the needs of my people. I heard their cry. I know their sufferings. And I am coming down to help them. And to lead them out of bondage. And then, of course, we know as Christians that God came near in Jesus Christ. The Word became flesh and took up residence in our neighborhood and lived amongst us and shared our hurts and sorrows. But not just that, but went to the cross to redeem us of our sins and by His stripes we are healed. The gospel in a nutshell is mercy. Pope Francis says God's name is mercy. And he declared this to be a year of mercy. And there may be somebody who's hurting here today. And if you would come forward for prayer, Polly and I would be glad to pray with you. If afterwards you're still hurting and you need help, I'll be glad to talk with you about how our church can help you or find resources that will help you. But we begin helping the hurting within our family. Let's take care of one another. You're invited to come for prayer if you're hurting, and we'll pray that you'll begin receiving the comfort you need. And then one day, with the comfort you receive, you'll comfort someone else. Let us stand.